Now on item eight, also Ferris, and I assume also Tim on that.
Sure, since he's up here. So we have a separate presentation titled Transaction Cost Analysis Presentation. And so this is also picking up on discussions we've had in the past. We did an education session. We've gone through the process of hiring Parametric and getting all these pieces in place, these fundamental operational pieces. This is the next one. This is the last one. And so our proposal here is to hire Zeno. If we turn to page 5 of this presentation, I want to highlight a couple points on here. This is the slide is titled Transaction Cost Analysis. The one above it has the pretty iceberg. This is the one after the pretty iceberg. The second bullet point here highlights that the transaction cost analysis can help answer the following questions. And so this is really the why are we doing this, the so what, if you will. So it helps us understand what the trading costs are at the fund manager, broker, and commission level. Are those costs reasonable, and how do we compare those? What are the reasons behind the costs, and what potential follow-up can we do with the managers? Now, that's the why we're doing this. The alternative view of it is, well, if we don't actually make any changes, why would we pay for a service that doesn't help us actually make any changes? So there is some transparency here, but it's something we want to pay attention to. Like, what are the actual changes being driven by this analysis? If we're just looking at it, you know, so what? So there has to actually be follow-up with the managers. And that's where Zeno comes in. And so we have a couple pages on Zeno and what they do. And so page 7 is just a little bit of background on the firm. Founded in 1986. Their ownership structure has changed a few times, moving from J.P. Morgan to ITG, and then in 2010, establishing itself as its own employee-owned firm, and the list of services that they offer, which is exactly what we're talking about. On page 8, the benefit
how many,
here...
How many employees do they have right now? Do you know?
It's not off the top of my head. I can find out if you'd like.
How many people are using them? How many? Do you have any idea?
These guys would be one of the granddaddies of the industry. So this is kind
and they, of... Well, they were before. You're going back to when they, 86, when they were with Plexus.
Yeah.
So they pulled people with them when they moved?
Yeah, it's been the same organization. Well,
and then when they left Morgan, they pulled people?
Yeah.
I would be interested in those two things, though.
Sure.
Any behind the scenes... knowledge, background on why they were acquired by and then sold by both J.P. Morgan and ITG?
Just speculative, but I looked at this a lot like Schwab and B of A. Right. Sold Schwab to B of A, got on their board, didn't like what was going on, bought Schwab back. So it's sort of like it's not exactly what we had in mind, so we want it back. But that's just speculation.
It's hard for them to be owned by somebody in today's regime because they're trying to provide independent evaluation of costs and commissions used by everyone. So at a point in time, it seemed like a good idea for banks to own this capability and say, oh, we can provide this to you. But the independence was conflicted, and so they had to spin off and find their own. So I think that's the general logic behind their ownership structure in the past. I don't know if there are any particular...
You're not aware of any negatives here.
Okay.
Principles are probably the similar, or for where they were totally new players in Zeno.
Now, the Steve Glass founded it, and so he dates back to it. In fact, prior to Zeno, he was actually counsel to the D.C. District of Columbia board.
So he's a principal now of Zeno.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and he started doing the transaction cost monitoring for that board,
like Chuck.
And Steve Glass would actually be involved in the Cicero relationship. Yeah. Probably taking points on it, actually.
Okay.
Page 8 highlights that they're going to do these three things, review quantitative analytics. A key part of that is the peer group comparisons, because they're doing this for others that they have the peer groups And so I think tied into Jerry's question about how robust are their peer groups tied to how many clients that they have, we'll get you the answer on that. What drives manager costs? They provide robust reporting. They've given us sample reports as well. In the appendix of this deck, we have a page from each of the reports, which is kind of like the highlight page, which is actually supported by 15 pages of additional data. They slice and dice this a lot of ways. It's pretty cool stuff if you're in minutia. And then communication, part three, communication of findings to the manager. That's really the key point, is going back to the manager and saying, you know, do you realize these kinds of numbers? And so one of the things that came out of their review of Robeco and looking at an equity mandate was that there was one firm that they had used which was clearly higher in cost. And it was the second most used in the portfolio. So why are you allocating so much to that highest cost one? You know, it doesn't sound like it's because they're providing you with one-off idiosyncratic things. Do you know this? And so that kind of communication can be helpful, and that can drive costs lower. So then it's a challenge of saying, okay, Zeno has that communication with the manager. Does the manager actually do anything? Well, if they know we're always looking at it and we keep asking these questions, that's how we persuade them to do something about it, that we are paying attention, and likely others are too. So, or they'll come back to us and be like, no, there's an actual reason for that, and it's this, dot, 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 dot. Okay, thank you, got it. And so that helps us be better informed. Page 9. Highlights some soft dollar audit services. This is a little bit different than transaction cost monitoring. Soft dollars are referred to as the expenses you pay in trading a stock or bond or trading a security, and you kind of pay a little too much because the firm you're trading with gives you research back. And it's kind of a soft dollar arrangement that, yeah, we know we're paying too much, but we're getting some benefit from it. And so it's kind of a value add proposition. We like your research. It informs our decision making. So we want to keep getting that. And we don't have to write a check for it. So that's good, too. Zeno says, yeah, that's great. And it's allowed. It's permissible. But it gets put under the microscope. And let's make sure it's being done right and show us how it's being done. So it's getting a lot of attention in Europe. And they're changing their regulations in 2017. They're going to really tighten this up and make sure that it's shown what you're paying for, who you're paying it to, what you're getting out of it, dot, dot, dot. That hasn't translated to the U.S. right now. But it will start affecting the managers that have a U.K. office or a European office because they're going to have to abide by these standards. So we'll start seeing that trickle in. Zeno then comes in and says, okay, so prove it. And so they gives us a nice verification point against
that. Are we actually doing that now?
Mm-hmm.
So we are getting soft dollar benefits that helped him?
Your investment managers are. Your investment managers.
Oh, all right. All right. So is it
the investment managers would be directing their clients' trades and receiving this back. And it's allowed if they share that benefit, the beneficial of that research across all clients. If all clients are incurring the cost and all clients are receiving the benefits. You can imagine proving that becomes the difficult point. So it's worth taking a look at this. I mean, your options are A, monitor it, or B, ban it.
And if we banned it and a manager was doing that as a basic part of their operations for all their other clients, they couldn't take us, I would assume. If they have to do it for everybody.
They
could, and that's part of what's interesting in the European community is that will be an allowable required carve-out, that you will be able to look at that agreement and say yes or no to soft dollars and check that box as you see fit, and they still have to manage your portfolio for you. Mm. Zeno then is a nice way of saying, again, prove it. You know, we want to actually see what's going on there. So
soft dollars are one of those topics that has, once it became widely known, this probably goes back 10 or 12 years, the immediate reaction was just you, investment management firms, pay hard dollars. If you need the research, pay the hard dollars. And you started to see it dwindle. And it kept dwindling and dwindling. But it hasn't gone away completely. And so to the extent it still exists today, let's take a look at it. Let's see if there's any issues there. I think Zeno can do this. I think it's worth doing at least a one-time exercise. Take a look at a period of trading. Do you see any irregularities? If so, we'll follow up on them, and then we can decide how we want to handle that prospectively.
Okay. California law already requires disclosures to us of soft dollar arrangements, and most of our contracts require compliance with that provision of California law. So this will give us a monitor on whether we're really getting compliance.
Okay. And so this takes it a step further, saying, if it exists, now let's test whether you're actually allocating the trades correctly, sharing the research correctly.
Page 11 has the actual proposal. They're offering two options to us. The difference being that option two has the manager follow-up, where they're going to pick up the phone and talk to the managers and actually try to effect change. The reason why they offer that is option one would be to say, we can provide you the report and happy to participate, but that would be more of staff or Varis having the discussion. So our recommendation would be, no, we want Zeno to have that discussion. We want you being the ones who have the reports, going to the managers, doing that. We think that makes sense. You're in possession of the data, and we're not coming to them halfway. And then at the bottom, we have the soft dollar audit as an optional add-on. They're saying $10,000 annually for that, with the annual reporting and all equity and fixed income strategies.
Where are you with these two? Option one or option two?
Option two.
Yeah. How about you?
Option two. And the way we would handle the follow-up is if we see an issue, it's disclosed to staff. We jointly, Zeno staff, jointly follow up with that manager. So we say, so they know. So Sarah's on top of this. Now let Zeno, in a non-confrontational way, saying, this is what we're seeing here. You know, we've seen other trading patterns that end up with better results for clients. You know, what was your rationale for trading this way? If you didn't have a rationale, here's some suggestions about how to change that. And with me on the phone as well, they know we're serious about it.
Okay. The options also have the fees up to 15 portfolios. This would apply to the public market, publicly traded separate accounts. So it's only those. So we have about 14 today, which comes in under that. And that number would probably decline over time, but.
So if you're inclined to option two, you'd leave the soft dollar audit as if needed or when it's recommended versus including that? Or?
I think we want to do it at least once and then evaluate whether we want that on an annual basis.
Okay. When I looked at this, it kind of reminded me of that ad that's on TV now where the dentist says, that's the biggest cavity I've ever seen. And then he says, I'm going to go to lunch. And the guy says, aren't you going to fix it? No, I just monitor it. I'm just a cavity monitor. These guys look like cavity monitors.
Well,
and it's up to you to.
That's a funny commercial.
And the reason they have two different models here is some folks take a look at this and say, we want the input, and then we want to be the one that interacts with our investment managers. Other folks, and what we're looking at here is saying, if you've got the data and you did the analysis, I want you to communicate that directly to the manager. But I want to be part of that process so they know that Cesare is involved. So the team-based approach of they're going to be communicating back to the managers and we're going to say, yes, this is important to us. We want best execution. We want the most efficient trading patterns possible. And if somebody's got a better suggestion, we want you to hear them out.
What's the length of the initial contract that's being anticipated? Is this an
annual contract?
Annual contract? Try them out for 1 year or?
I think it's an evergreen contract, but we can terminate it on 30 days' notice.
Because I'd like to see if it's adding value at some point.
Well, we can certainly set it up, go through the process for a year, have them come in and present to the board, you know, present to staff, present to board, however
that'll
you
want
to handle it. No, that's included. And if, you know, if we say this is costing us $37,000 a year and we're not seeing any incremental benefits, we cancel it. If it's costing us $37,000 a year and we're getting $1 million back in improved
of course.
Trading.
I can even do the math on that one.
There we go. I'll set it up that way.
In the evergreen type of agreement, is the annual fee reevaluated? Is it renegotiated? Is it adjusted? Does anything happen to it?
Let me go back and actually look at the contract language.
We have a sample agreement. Yeah. I didn't bring that with me. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'd like to have some sense somehow that this is, hate to have 5 years out, we say, well, we've had Zeno for 5 years and nobody's ever really looked at it. Is there a way we can calendar this review and actually decide that we're going to look at it in January or February or after a year and it actually pops up and we look at it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we kind of move through the policy statement and get a few other reports out to the board structured for 2017, I think there would be an operational review as well.
I'm just fearful that these kind of fade into the woodwork, and we have a 10-year...
And they usually do.
Default contract.
This is why we wanted to kind of highlight this and say there is a higher touch option here where there's more outreach. We think this is a better approach that gets to a better outcome. Okay. But yeah, your point is well taken, Jerry.
In terms of contracting with them, do we determine how many years we want them, or do they determine how many years that we get them?
Yes.
Either party can terminate the contract.
It's probably one of those ones that reads it renews automatically unless we hear otherwise.
That goes back to Jerry's thing. I mean, we can just hire him for a year or hire him for 2 years, and then that would automatically set up the first evaluation, because I'm sure we're going to want to know at the conclusion of the contract whether or not it was a benefit to this system.
Yeah. This is, and just framing.
That's fine. I think we can do that in the agreement.
Transaction cost analysis is something that Cicera has done for a long period. Cicera, with a prior consultant, transaction cost analysis was included in the Milliman contract. It was not done on nearly as robust a basis as this. It was a very simplistic approach that just kind of said, were you within these general tolerance bands?
Yes.
And it provided limited ability to follow up with the managers. We said, look, if we're going to do this, let's do this in a way that there can be a meaningful discussion, and we can actually see, you know, you, Zeno, are out there saying, because of your analysis, you can lead to better outcomes for clients. Let's test it out. They ran a test case for us. We said, looks like good data. Now we're at a point where they say, for the fee you're proposing, looks like it's worth the money. Let's go ahead and set it up.
Yeah, their examples were good. I bought their examples and felt like, okay, there's value in this. But I still think we need to do what Jerry was saying, take a look at it from our standpoint a year from now, maybe two at the most.
Yeah, no, I would say let's get the relationship set up. Let's have them evaluate the 2016 data. When 2016 closes out, we'll have them come in 2017, give an update on what they saw, what the results of the follow-up were, and the board can see that in real time.
Do either of you know of any 37 Act that has hired these guys already?
Santa Barbara uses them. Lacera? One of the LA plants does.
Okay, but that'll go back to how many, and Ed'll look that up for me again. I'm curious to find they have gotten positive results using them, yes or no? That kind of
the folks I've talked to have found them worthwhile. They've had them on an ongoing basis, and they've had them for years and years.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.